Online Podcast 149Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Online Podcast. You know what? Today we have a big treat. We have a Malaysian boys orgy and an honorary Malaysian boy from Texas. Mikey Pot is with three other Malaysian boys, me included. And who else? We have
everybody.
Oh, you know what? Oh shit! I can't use
John,
your name.
I won't call you a Malaysian boy. You're a lady.
Oh, shut up, you bitch! And then
you're the queen.
I am the queen. No. In fact, we are giving you a new name. This person that you're talking, we're calling you Dodol. Well, the reason why we call him Dodol is because he doesn't want me to use his real name. And even though I use his nickname, the nickname is too close to his real name. So I'm going to go back into using a new nickname called Dodol. You owe me big time. You owe me big time, Mr. Who you know who you are, Mr. Dodol. Anyway, here it is. Dodol. Where are you right now?
I'm in Malaysia.
Oh, he's in Malaysia. Yes. Which part of Malaysia?
I am in Petaling Jaya.
Oh my god.
Which is a little city of Kuala Lumpur.
Tell us about the weather over there.
It's 39 degrees.
I'm melting.
Even my teeth is melting.
What is 39 degrees?
39 Celsius.
39 degrees. That's almost, well, it's almost 100 degrees.
Fahrenheit. Right. I think so. And it's horribly humid.
Why do you have this British accent if you're from Malaysia?
No, I don't have a British... No. I cannot tell you. It's a secret.
Mm-hmm.
I drink English tea.
Oh, you drink
English tea?
Too much Earl Grey, darling.
BBC 24. That's why I've got a British
Oh, do we have BBC 24 in Malaysia now?
Yeah.
Oh, I know it's been a while since I've been home. And when I go home, I usually don't watch TV. So our second Malaysian guest is not in Malaysia, just like me. Where are you, Mr. What's your name?
Are you talking to me?
No, the other Malaysian. Oh my gosh, did we lose him?
Well, wait a minute.
Did we lose him?
Who's the other?
I think we lost him.
Yeah, we lost him.
Poor thing. Well, why don't you tell us about yourself, Mikey Pod?
Okay.
Yes, it's your first time on the show.
It is. I don't know how to act. Oh God.
and you're among many Malaysian boys.
Among my Malaysian brethren.
Oh, exactly.
Are you Malaysian, Mikey Pond?
No.
He's an honorary one today.
I'm honorary.
Oh,
Malaysian
honorary. Sorry, I'm gonna have to distract everybody again. Honorary, remember?
Dodol.
Oh shit! Shit!
Dodol.
Sorry,
John. I'm still gonna hit you.
Sorry,
Dodol.
You hate emails. I'm gonna put viruses in them.
Okay,
Dodol.
Do you remember honorary?
I can't say that word.
Okay, never mind. Let's go back to Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hi.
So you are an honorary Malaysian tonight.
Yeah.
Today, whenever.
So, what? I'm still like shell shocked. Okay, what do I do? So should I just tell you about my show and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, I have a podcast with really great graphics. John on.
Exactly. You don't have to listen to the podcast. Just go check out the logo.
It's really true. I still like just sit and admire the logo so much. I was showing it to my friend. She'd seen it already, but I was just like, isn't that little guy cute? Look at him with the little headphones on. It's precious.
So, Mikey, okay. Where are you?
I am in Houston, Texas.
Yeehaw!
Oh, my God.
Yeehaw! So, where are you?
In Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
Oh.
Yeah, most people think that we belong to Africa, but
oh really?
No, we're just next door to Africa. No, I mean Singapore.
Africa? Why did you say Africa?
I was thinking Madagascar.
You're crazy.
Oh my gosh, I've lost it.
I just picked Michael Heron. Oh shit! Can I say your name?
Oh yeah, that's okay.
I'm just.
That's totally okay.
Okay, I'm
You're just exposing everybody else.
I know. I'm sorry, Mr. Dodol. I'm not.
I'm calling my lawyer.
If you want to edit the show, you have to do it yourself. And I know what you're thinking right now. You must be thinking this is going nowhere, right? No, this conversation is going to turn really serious and rather interesting. And the conversation is quite long also, but I would like to leave the whole chunk of the conversation in this podcast. So if you feel like it's a bit long, you can stop, come back later, and continue to listen to the rest of it. But I want you to take a listen to it because it's very interesting.
Okay, so do you want me to introduce myself? Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh, we forgot about that poor thing. Yeah, we will have you introduce yourself in a moment. And because, Mike, you will be my American listeners or any non-Malaysian listeners' voice. So anything you can ask.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So you get to, since you're so American, you're from Texas and all, and you get to be the questioner. And now that we're going to go back to, yeah, what was that?
No, you said the Texas thing with like a New York accent.
Oh yeah, perfect. But that Texas and the New York and all. But anyway, we're gonna go back to that person. I don't know whether I've already revealed his name or not. Why don't you introduce yourself and give us your nickname if you don't want to use your real voice?
Well, I'll just use my real voice and real name. What?
You just use your real voice. You don't have your real voice tonight, honey.
I do not have my own real voice today. But my name is Andrew, and I'm in Seattle.
Oh, hi,
and, I don't have my voice today, so I guess I don't sound like me. So hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
And, hello. What was it? Dodo was telling us about the breakfast
go tell
that
everybody
he was
now.
Having. Oh, shit! Dodo.
Wait, are you not supposed to be saying names? Is that what's going on?
I'm not supposed to be saying names.
He's already revealed everybody's names anyway. Oh, well, whatever.
Yeah, oh, well, what the hell, yeah.
Say them now.
Okay.
Dodol.
I want a cute nickname, please.
Oh, how about Yeehaw?
Oh, but I want it to sound Malaysian.
Oh,
Michael,
let's
be a part of.
Yeah, let's see. Mikey Pod.
Should we call him, Mikey Ketupat?
Yeah, why not? That was funny.
Oh my gosh, my hubby called. Why don't you guys talk amongst yourself while I make this phone call?
Okay.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so Mikey Pod.
Yes.
What kind of nickname do you want?
I don't know. I don't know. Just give me one.
We're giving you one. Ketupat.
Ketupat. Do you know what it is?
Do you know what it is?
Yeah.
Are you explain it to him.
Go on.
Well, have you eaten satay before, Malaysian satay?
I've eaten satay before. I don't know if it was Malaysian, though.
Okay. In Malaysia, when we serve satay, we normally serve it with some kind of rice cake, which is... what kind of rice is it, Ki?
Rice? Asian rice?
It's just rice that's packed really, really hard into a cake.
Oh, is it like a little rice cake?
Not really.
Not quite, actually. Well, how we normally make it is that we sort of weave a little sort of like a little pocket. It's kind of like Malaysian hot pockets, but it's made of coconut leaves, and then you put rice in it, sort of raw rice, and then you make as many as you could, and you put it in a big pot and you boil it, and the little coconut leaf pocket will just compress the rice as it expands in the water, and then when you're ready, you just cut open this little pocket, and this little little rhombus-shaped rice cube falls out, and you cut them up and have it with your satay sauce.
Tastes really good.
So is that my name? Is my name the same thing as those little rice things?
Yeah.
That's cool.
You little rice bucket.
I'm good for that. I like it.
Aww.
Oh, I like it.
So sweet.
I have a name.
So Mikey Pod, have you got any Asian ties at all?
No relatives.
No relatives.
Is that what you're asking? Like any?
Well,
oh no,
friends,
yeah.
So
I just sort of wondered, are you American American or are you sort of Asian American?
I'm American American, mostly Irish.
Oh,
Oh, okay.
Oh.
You know, you, all along I've thought you were African American.
Can you probably can out-drink us very easily, then.
Probably. In fact, I stopped all that because of how well I could drink.
That is scary.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So what does Mikey Pod do? What's your podcast about, then?
Well, I play music, and I've been doing a lot of interviews lately with different political people or that kind of thing. Like, who else have I interviewed? I just interviewed the guy who is running for Texas governor as a part of the Green Party.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was actually really interesting. He's a really cool guy.
Is he the cute one?
He sounded really cute. I haven't seen a picture of him yet, but I was totally in love with him by the time I interviewed him over Skype.
I see. Well, Michael, you sound really cute too.
Just the voice.
Down, whore, down.
So you guys carried on the conversation just fine?
Sure.
Oh, it went really well.
Yeah, we've actually been talking about you, John.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah. We've been talking about how you've been planning some operation.
Oh, for what? Oh my god, someone
for your fabulous transformation to one of the Indigo girls.
Oh, you know what? Very interestingly, when you listen to this, it will be completely out of sync because I'm posting this like whenever, I don't know. But on tomorrow's show, I am actually playing an interview with Rebecca Ney from Tranny Rack.
Oh my god.
Yeah, how appropriate, even though it's not quite because the show will be played much later.
She is so cool. Did you interview her already?
I did, yes. A few weeks ago, actually. Yeah, she's delightful. I like her. But let's go back to you guys' conversation.
Who is she? Oh, like both of us.
You know, you will know by now, because by now you should have already heard it.
No, I haven't listened to your today's podcast.
Oh, okay. Right. So, gosh, I feel like... I feel like I'm some kind of time warp. So by the time the show comes out, we would already know by then. But
yes,
for the moment, we don't know.
Yes.
Okay, all right. I got it.
Oh, my God, Captain. We've entered a time warp.
I'm so slow. Good Lord.
Well, anyway, for the first time, my own show, I'm actually anxious to listen to this because I missed out a whole big chunk of it. I was on the phone with Bruce, so.
And we talked so much shit about you, too.
Oh, yeah, God, I'm so excited.
But I got a nickname. Will you tell me my nickname so I can write it down when I remember?
Oh, yeah. Your nickname is Ketupa.
Oh, Ketupa.
K-E-T-U-P-A. Ketupat.
So who came up with that creative name?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yes, he did.
We're using my real name now.
Oh, you are?
We are all using our new real names.
All right.
Except for me.
Except for you?
Oh, Mikey Pod.
Except for Ketupat.
Except for Mikey Pod.
Oh, yes, except for Ketupat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello, Ketupat.
Don, what's your nickname?
What's my nickname?
Yeah.
You know, my nickname on my other show is actually Miku.
You know, Miku. Does that mean nipples?
Not nipple. Miku is, in Hokkien, it's, you know, one of those red bread that they use for worshipping?
Oh, yeah. The one that's shaped
like a turtle. Yes.
Oh, okay. The anku thingy.
That's so cute.
Because my face is so fat that every time I look into the mirror, it looks like just a loaf of bread. It looks like Miku, you know?
Oh, that pink thing.
Yes, that pink thing.
But you can't be a Miku. Miku is really bland and tasteless.
Yeah, it's boring. It's boiled bread.
Yeah, but it's good. I'm the good kind. I'm actually the gold Miku. People call me the gold Miku.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
So anyway...
So queer.
So queer.
Are you gay?
Who? Me? Gay? Are you kidding? Yeah. No, I don't like to suck dick. What do you mean?
Oh my god, I'm on a gay show.
Yes, you are.
Oh my god.
You are on a Malaysian orgy right now.
Oh, good Lord.
No.
Where's the orgy?
That's again, of course, we were Andrew and I we were talking about earlier about stereotype. I don't want to go into any specific stereotype yet, but I'm just saying stereotype. Now, do you think that gay people usually get to being portrayed as very sexual? Now, of course, we were, you know, we were doing that very tongue-in-cheekily, but are we perpetuating stereotype? Or are we just having fun? Chime in.
Wait.
Silence.
I think just now when we were, you know, I guess we were just playing around just, but really, I think most of us aren't like that. The thing that I'm the most disappointed in is that many Asian boys tend to act like big old queens, and that just perpetuates the stereotype that Asian boys are just big old queens and fat. They're not men.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
What do you think, from an American point of view? Ketupat.
You talking to me?
Uh-huh.
Wait, you sound so manly.
You were not listening?
Yeah, dude. I don't know. So, about... Back up just a little bit. I think I understood the question, but phrase it to me again.
We were talking about... When we were playing around, talking about, you know, orgy and... You know, sucking dick and all that. Does that perpetuate homosexuality? I mean, gay men being so sexual all the time, and are we actually, you know, committed the sin of perpetuating those kind of stereotype? And also, Andrew also brought up the fact that a lot of Asian, why don't you voice it yourself, Andrew?
All right. The point I was trying to make is that quite a number of Asian boys tend to perpetuate the stereotype that Asian men are effete. And so I think that's rather disappointing. And I would like to see that go away.
Now, is that true, though? I personally, so, and that goes back to you, Mikey Pot, is when you think about being a white American, do you think about, when you think about Asian men, do you think of them as effeminate? Do you think of them as queenie?
Like, particularly Asian gay men, of course. I don't think so. I mean, I'm kind of like asking myself, sort of like looking back at how I see things before asking that question, and that's not something that immediately comes up. I mean, I think that I have a lot of prejudice about just gay guys in general,
mm-hmm.
even though I am too,
mm-hmm.
just because, and podcast, like, I've just been having this conversation actually about how a lot of, like, the gay podcasts are, like, just about whoreholes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all, like, just gay humor. But then, like, something like this, it seems like it's pretty well balanced. You know what I mean?
Because
now we're suddenly having a conversation, and there's something more to it than, you know, I just have a hard time deciding how much of it is just the way that we are as gay people.
Yeah, and plus I also, and I know Andrew brought up the fact when I was talking to him, but for me, I have a completely different point of view. I think we should be, now, you know, we do that in real life. We joke about that ourselves. And I think that in order to have more voices represented, we just need to have more voices rather than calm down or tone down certain voice. We should just have more voices speaking out. Like when on my show, you hear my queenie side and you hear my not so queenie side. You hear issues, topic that are very serious, and you also hear about very silly things like me trying to do push-ups and couldn't. And and so it, you know, everything is there, but I don't know. I tend to be a little bit more of you just be yourself, camp or not.
Yeah.
Mm.
What do you think? What do you think, Andrew? I'm sorry. If
Dodo
too, you can speak.
Yes, sir. Well, I don't know. I find that, you know, sort of campy guys or straight acting gay guys, it doesn't really bother me that much, because I think that's the whole package of being gay or not gay or just comfortable, being comfortable with oneself. I think the world is a big, you know, a big potluck of different people, and people should be allowed to behave whatever way they want to. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are lots of, well, there are lots of straight men who behave in appalling fashion, but we tolerate it. So, what I'm my hobby horse is my pet haste is basically Oriental guys who make themselves very easily available to. To
Caucasian.
Older men.
Oh, older
no,
men.
To very much older men, you know, on the basis of finance and money, you know, rather than, you know, rather than a pure relationship sort of thing, and that kind of irritates me a bit because it kind of perpetuates this sort of easygoing, you know, easy to get kind of ladyboy kind of stereotype.
Cliffy.
Yeah.
You just said his name, you shouldn't have.
No. And I just did. And the reason is because that's what he portrays. And I do not know whether he is, in fact, that in real life, or is it just a persona? And that's because, why I want to talk to him. And there's a whole lot more about him that he usually shows on his show.
I think persona or not persona... I think behaving in such a fashion is quite bad because how would I say it?
This is going spicy. This is getting spicy. This is almost like hot topic.
I don't know.
Chili paddy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It just perpetuates that awful, god awful stereotype that Asian men tend to be rather fat and always go for older men for the money.
Yeah.
Which, you see, I don't have a problem with going after older men. But
I don't have a problem with that
people
either,
going after money. You
know?
It's the money thing.
It kind of makes... I feel that gay people have bad self-esteem to start with, and I feel that particularly Asians have even worse self-esteem, especially in the European society. And then you have people kind of do stuff like that. It kind of
now,
makes things worse.
Now, is it? I mean,
we need people to look up to.
This is not a gay issue, is it? This is just a because I see that in Asian women. Is this an Asian thing? Or third world country people, and I want money,
John.
And therefore I sell my body.
John.
No, it's true. You're right. But hey, we're all girlfriends, aren't we, girlfriend?
After this is aired or posted, I will have Cliffy on and we'll talk about that. Because I don't think I have really gone into that with him.
Yeah.
No. And I just think no, you have the point. And but the thing is, I've never thought of that before until my brother brought up the fact one day when we were having dim sum talking about stereotype, and while we were having dim sum, he said that.
Because that sentence is so packed with stereotypes.
Yeah. He said that, you know, sometimes Asians are being portrayed as, you know, also another kind is, this is actually kind of applied to you, Andrew, like muscular and, well, not just muscular. I mean, you can be muscular, but I wish I'm muscular, but I'm not, I'm fatty. But
I dispel the stereotype that Asian men are gay. I mean, are fat.
No. The showing off their body is the what my brother was saying, that you know there's a kind of California exhibitionist Asian who are really buff and they just take off their shirt and they dance in the dance floor and that's what they like to do. And there is a kind of stereotype that's like that. And I did not know about that. Even the stereotype of young Asian men wanting to find a golden goose, those kind of stuff. I don't know. I didn't know that there was a stereotype until Cliffy told me.
Well, I have a question.
Okay, that says a whole lot. We need explanation from Andrew. What was that sigh for?
Yeah, what does it mean?
Well, let Mikey talk. I mean, Ketupat talk first.
Okay.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
You're just enjoying this, don't you?
Oh my god, that big size is basically, I'm just fed up with that whole stereotype thing. I just want to break that.
Now, go ahead. I'll let you finish. Go ahead and finish your thought, Andrew.
My thought? I think I'm done.
Oh, okay. for the moment. You just want to break that.
I suppose I can add one more thing, because the other stereotype is that, you know, if you look at television, most Asian men are basically portrayed as sexless beings.
Yeah.
Or they could be portrayed as gangsters in movies. So what's happening? I just hate that.
Well, But I guess do you have... I don't really... Now, I personally, and not just because I want to have Cliffy on my show, that I say that Cliffy is being Cliffy, and I don't have any intention to change who he is. And I think I told Andrew earlier before the recording, I just want him to be on my show to actually share some of this, the perspective that we don't usually get to see. And he can get very serious, and he's very smart. And well, I'm not saying that, you know, he's kind of silly on his show, doesn't it? But I thought he's right now started to go into more deeper stuff and not just striptease anymore.
Oh, God.
Well, the one thing that you will never see me do, and usually I never say never, but you will never see me striptease on my podcast. Because
I'm out of here.
But I do give other stuff. I do give something else very well. But no, I'm kidding. No.
Oh, God.
See, here we are again. You know, doing sexual stuff. But now my point of view
about being
sexual. I would
like to hear what Ketupat has to say about this.
Okay, go ahead.
Your perspective, please.
Sorry, I'm going to have to interject again one more time. Be completely frank if you can. Like, you know, don't have to be nice. Think of Madge.
Yeah, frank. Meanness, you want if you want to.
Yeah. I was going to say that honest. A lot of things that you guys were saying, and this may be just from my white person perspective,
yes,
what am I trying to say? Oh, but a lot of those stereotypes are like general gay stereotypes too, you know? Like
that's true.
Shirtless guys dancing and even the like young guys look for older guys with money. Because I have a friend who's Filipino who I hang out with a lot. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when we see those older guys with the younger Asian guys, he goes, why are they always like, he kind of comments about that, right?
Yeah.
And he's a stereotype as well. But then, is there more of that we just don't notice when it's like an older white guy with a younger white guy? And maybe it's like an expectation that we have set up? I'm really just throwing that out there because I don't know that...
That's a good point. That's a good point. I guess you're
a new thing now, isn't it?
You're more sensitive to your own stereotype, I guess, you know. Do you think we are being hypersensitive?
Well, but I see it too. I mean, to me, I see that a lot too. But I wonder if I also have that expectation and I kind of look for that.
Mm. Mm. That's an interesting question because I live in Seattle. I see a lot of older men with younger Asian boys, which is drives me up the wall, even though I'm in the same relationship, though.
That's right. Now see,
guilty.
Is it that bad? Is it really that bad though? What harm is it causing?
But saying that, Andrew, you're not doing it for money, are you?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So
you know, I think that's a different thing altogether because, I mean, Mikey Pod, I completely agree with you because I live in Europe and I see really old white men with very, very young European men. I mean, the little European boys don't even speak English.
Oh, good lord.
And I have no idea how they communicate. You know, I get a similar feeling as well. But I don't know. I suppose it's all sparked off from, you know, sort of, you know, really old Australian men in Thailand with, you know, really juvenile-looking boys who don't even speak English.
Oh, God, that's god-awful.
And you know, it's almost like granddad and grandchild holding hands. It's almost a, you know, it's almost a gut wrenching feeling that you get from that. And I don't know, I don't really know how to describe it in words, but
I guess you know.
I think that's the feeling I get when I see people like that together. You know, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it's for true love. But
well, it could be. It could be. Now, of course, most of us would think, you know, like when we think about what's her name, the big boobs, trim spa woman.
What trim spa woman?
do you know what I'm talking about? The blonde model.
I know who you're talking about. Anna Nicole Smith.
Now, of course, when you think about it, you pass, or we all pass the judgment that, you know, she's a gold digger. And are we just being judgmental, or maybe...
Is she not?
Isn't she?
Quite openly said that she is.
So, and for other guys, and... I don't know, maybe it's just my personality. I'm not just trying to be nice. It's just my personality that I do think about it, but then I always put myself to think of the other side of the story. That's, you know, oftentimes that's why I want to talk to people, I want to interview people, is because I always want to see what's not being shown. And if sometimes we're too quick to pass judgment, don't you think, sometimes?
Or is, I suppose yes and no.
It's a tough issue, isn't it? Stereotype. There are certain stereotype that is probably more serious than just people who are gold digger, I guess. I don't know.
No, definitely. There are definitely worse stereotypes than that.
That's true.
Yeah, one I really don't like is... Everybody assumes that if you're Oriental, you must have a small penis. I think that's a really, really annoying.
I think you shouldn't use the word Oriental.
Now, see, again, that's regional. That's regional. What? Now, this is really good because recently, several weeks ago, whenever I post the show, we had this whole big, you know, uproar about what word is offensive and what word isn't. So. Oriental here, if somebody come up to me, are you an Oriental? I said, no, I'm not a rug. But it's only in America that some people find that offensive. Isn't it true? Because we have an Oriental person using the term Oriental.
Right.
I don't find it offensive. I am Oriental.
You see? See, it's region. I think
it's probably regional thing. Yeah, you're right.
But you know what's funny about it? I feel offended by it too, just because it's ingrained in me that, like, oh, you don't use that word, and I have no idea why.
Yeah.
But you know, sorry. Like, no, but I'm commenting on the fact that I'm Caucasian, and I'm like, oh, you can't say that. Wait a minute.
You're a cracker.
You see, I find it quite an interesting concept because, like, in the UK, if you say black. If you call somebody black, it feels offensive to say it. But I've got a friend who comes from Africa, and he's actually the son he's actually a prince, and he's come to London and he works in Starbucks because he wants to feel what a normal life is like.
Oh my God!
And he's really, really down to earth, you know, considering that he's a prince and he's got more money than you can imagine. And, you know, when we used to live together in a hostel, loads of the kind of British-born black people would say, don't call us black, you know, that's racist. And he'd turn around and say, well, actually, you are black, man. you know, if you're not black, then what are you? You know, and he was proud to say it because he was. And I think I'm proud to say that I'm Oriental or Chinese. And I mean, I would get offended if somebody said, yeah, you're a yellow bastard, and I would smack them in the face, but... That's what we are.
Now, I can relate to the prince because I'm actually skinny. I just want to be fat to experience how a fat person feel like. Internally, I feel very thin.
I suppose, can we twist it around and say, look, you know, we've got all these Chinese guys or we've got all these Asian guys who... Oh, actually, that's another point. You know, the word, if you use the word Asian in some contexts in the UK, that's offensive, just like how Oriental is offensive in America.
Is it too generic?
Right, because you're lumping everybody into one category.
Yeah.
It's kind now, of, I do think sometimes being too PC is crazy. I think it's sometimes being too politically correct is sometimes too... It's just too much of a hassle. Now, you have to be considerate if the person... I think it has to be an individual thing. And when you're in a public speaking environment, you have to, of course, take that into consideration. And therefore, you want to do what the general public would accept. But I think being too PC... Like, for instance, if you call me a chink...
It's a matter of taste, isn't it?
If you call me a chink, I won't feel offended. But it may offend somebody else. Would it offend you,
Dodo?
Yeah, it would.
Definitely.
It won't offend me. I think if I'm being called a bohiao. Did you guys know that?
What's that?
Bohiao. See, bohiao it's a Hokkien term called like an I think it's like an effeminate gay person, or you know, it's called bohiao. I find that more offensive because I grew up with that term being used negatively towards me, and that is more offensive than being called a chink.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I suppose it's how it's portrayed, isn't it? If what context it's used, if it's used maliciously, whatever you say, you know, even if you say, "Yeah, you Chinese person," if that would also be offensive. But the word Chinese isn't offensive. It's the context, isn't it? I mean, I call some of my gay friends faggots.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's exactly what was discussed with Adam Curry and our lovely Madge. And I haven't really spoken my part. Well, I don't have to, but I have, you know, my opinions that I would like to talk about. Okay, now this is when I'm going to chime in and actually come in and talk about the whole Adam Curry, Madge Weinstein, faggot reference. I know coming from Madge mentioning the word faggot being offensive for some gay people is really hard to take, because Madge used far worse words than that, but she made it clear that she is equal opportunity, and therefore she uses terms for, you know, really offensive terms for everybody. But so my thing is, I think the word or the argument coming from Madge is not as effective as it were to have come from somebody else who do not use those words as frequently as Madge would. That's my point, my thought. And then secondly, I think what Adam Curry did not get was that the word, it's not because of the word, it's how the word was being used. It is the word faggot being used in a way to describe, to paint the picture of something that's really low, something that's really bad, it's cheap, or it's worthless. That is the offensive part. It's like, oh, you are so gay, and you know, in the very bad way. It's like, oh my gosh, your essay is so gay. Well, you know, I don't, maybe that's a bad example. What I'm trying to say is, you're so gay, you know, or somebody, oh, he's so gay, you know, or something that turned out really awful and really bad, and you say gay or you say faggot. So in that context, they said that the faggot over an XM radio, whatever, it means, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can, you know, just ignore me. This is referring to a show that Adam Curry did and Madge Weinstein send in a comment to his show on it's too long to explain. Just, you know, if you want to know more, you email me, I'll let you know. So using the word faggot, sometimes, you know, to me it can be bad. If it's coming from another gay person, it's not as bad. And also how you use it, like, let's say we can use faggot in a very loving and actually embracing manner, but when it comes to using really horrible people over there, using faggot as an adjective to describe something really bad, is offensive, is what I'm trying to say. Gosh, I wasted all those time trying to say that. So using faggot or gay to describe something really awful and bad is offensive, not just the word faggot. It could be when somebody scolds somebody, when you, if you can picture those two guys beating up Matthew Shepard, calling him faggot, that is offensive. But just say, hey, faggot, that is not offensive. So it's context-driven. And but in the specific situation when we were talking about Adam Curry and Madge, is because Adam Curry does not, I don't think he still does, or he may, I'm not sure, I don't want to pass judgment, but he doesn't get it in that show that the word faggot was offensive because it was used as an adjective to describe something really bad. That itself is offensive. Well, let's go back to the conversation. But this is a good topic, though.
It is a really good topic.
And I'm very glad that Mikey Pot is actually a part of it, because we want to hear somebody from outside and not just
Who's
talk
Mikey
amongst
Pot?
Ourselves. Ketupat, I mean.
Yeah, Ketupat. Thank you.
So, now this is probably a two-parter show because, you know, I just let this recording go. And this is probably the second part you're listening to this. The sucky thing is, you know, I always have to think about it. Every time I'm sitting here doing the show, I think of how do I edit this thing out, you know? So
just let it go.
Yeah,
just let it go.
I know. Okay, Andrew's gonna do the editing. Yay! And then
what?
I'm such a lazy person. Now, hey, Andrew, I'm just so you know, since I'm really actually a thin person, and I'm just I'm fat because I want to experience how is it like being fat. Okay. I started taking the stairs instead of taking the elevator when I, you know, go get my car. So, the first few times, I almost pass out after I take those four flights of stairs, and now I'm actually much better.
Oh, good. Good. Keep doing it. Yeah. You need to do it.
I hate exercise. Oh, my gosh.
Why? Exercise is what? Fun.
Exercise is fun.
See, skinny people say, really? It's, you know, no, it's not. Eating is fun.
I eat just as much as you do.
I think none of you are fat. Yeah, I'll be the only one. Maybe we should do a different show with Madge and Wanda in it, that so that we can.
Lord,
we have some fat representation. No, let's not talk about fat. Let's skip over that part.
Okay.
I wanted to.
That's a whole new can of worms.
Yeah, a whole new can of worms that we don't want to open yet. Is it something that just needs to be talked about instead of finding a resolution? I know most men, getting hate mail from women now. Most men think of, men like to find solution, don't you think, generally speaking?
Not really. Not as obsessed as women.
See? See, we have a whole different can of worm.
Oh, please, I have a mother.
But okay, let's just say some people like to, like for me, my personality, I tend to want to jump to wanting to come up with a solution rather than just open it up for discussion. I like to try to find a solution for everyone. This is just my personality. And I don't think it's stereotype sort of thing. There's too many factors involving that issue that I don't think no one can really solve anything. Like, what is perpetuating stereotype? What isn't?
Well, I suppose at the end of the day, you know, every family has a black sheep. And for our sort of Asian family, we have black sheep. And I suppose in some ways...
Now you're offending black sheep.
Hey, the black sheep's the one, they're the ones that are the clever ones. Well, I suppose, you know, I don't know the true reason why everybody who perpetuates stereotypes do it, but I'm sure I perpetuate some stereotypes. And,
yeah, me too.
You know, and I'm sure I do it, and I'm sure sometimes I don't know that I'm doing it, but hey, you know, I suppose it's live and let live, and the important thing is we have to bear in mind that, you know, as gay people, you know, has come a long way to reach this point in society. Why? I mean, the thing to think about is why make Why make why make effort to put us back? Like, why don't we go forward? I think sort of, for example, sorry, I'm going to bring a different topic altogether in because
Andrew is doing the editing.
Oh, all right. Yeah, cut this all out. I was going to say, Ellie McBeal. Anybody watch that?
Oh yes, I used to like that show.
Yeah, and we have a Asian person in it, Ling, and I was thinking, if only. You know, we have such an empowered sort of game.
Oh, yeah, I used to love her. I mean, you know, when I watched the show, that's why.
Which show again? Hello, I missed it.
Ally McBeal.
Oh, okay, all right.
She's like,
yes.
Used to hear that lion.
Oh, Ling's a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a powerful woman.
She's an empowered person, confident, she knows what she's doing, mm-hmm. and she make men fall to their knees for more reasons than one. So the thing is, why can't we have real life role models like that? I mean, not completely evil like her, but sort of strong,
well-balanced. Are you talking about gay or Asian? Or a gay Asian.
It doesn't matter. Men, women, Asian, white. I think we need to have more of these kind of personalities that we could look up to in real life rather than the kind of, pathetic, scouring type of talented Mr. Ripley kind of gay people. I think that just makes things worse, altogether.
You know, being gay and being the role model is very difficult because sometimes people... being gay is different from being Asian or being a woman or being a man because it's not as out there. You don't necessarily see it. So there might be some very good example out there, but if they're not, so-called publicly out, do you want everybody to be out with their sexuality or do you still consider that, personal stuff?
Well, it's a personal choice, isn't it? Some people are born to be leaders and some aren't. So,
right. I think what Keith's trying to get at is that we want regular Asian people out there who are leaders that we can look up to. It doesn't have to mean, doesn't mean that person has to be gay. Did I get the point correct?
No, that's correct. That's correct. It doesn't have to be gay, because at the end of the day, we all find our own role models and we all be our own heroes.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, the question is, should we be putting our best foot forward? That's what I'm saying.
I have my personal solution to things like that. That is, I tend to look at every single person as an individual. Then you stop the stereotype because you may encounter it in the very beginning. But for me, is every time I say I may have stereotype against this person, but I thought, and then I remind myself, no, I should look at him or her as a person. And then I'll get to know more about him or her, and then I'll find out things that is completely against the stereotype.
Mm. It's true, isn't it? I think what you say is true.
Plus, we also bring in a lot of baggage from our previous experience. And
no, that's right.
And so every one of us do. We have our own baggage, and some of the baggage could be young Asian man likes money and therefore they go for money with an older guy for money. And some other people's baggage may be something else, being called a rug. Oh no, I mean Oriental. And I don't know though. It's a hard topic. I don't think we have like one solution. Mm. But my personal way of dealing it with stuff like that is now, that is only on one side. That is for me whether or not to see other people's stereotype. It's not really for me whether or not I'm perpetuating a stereotype.
I would
stereotype.
Say all that is very fine and dandy, but we still do need role models.
True. I agree.
That's missing.
What's each of us doing? I mean, not just, us here on the show, but what is everybody who's listening to the show doing? What are we doing for ourselves and for other people, because everything that we do, either directly or indirectly, impacts on what we say about ourselves and our lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Are we making the right decision? Are we making the right choices and right response to other people, Or are we just self-serving and self-centered?
Yeah, and sometimes finding the balance between, are you living your life for yourself or are you living your life for your community?
True. I suppose not everybody can do that. I suppose some people just feel the need to fulfill their own needs. And well, it's not wrong. Everybody has needs. But,
and like you said, you know, some people are more public and some people tend to keep it a little bit more private.
More private, yeah.
And have we lost Mikey Pot yet?
No, I'm right here.
Oh. So any
you're just enjoying the bitch fight, aren't you?
we would like to have your comments.
What we're doing, like, as podcasters and also people who are listening to podcasts, are really doing more than we realize about providing role models. Talking about that, the whole Madge Adam Curry thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wound up connecting with this guy who's a podcaster. I think he lives in Michigan in this small town, and he's been podcasting forever. And he's gay, and he never came out until just this week in his podcast. He has a partner of like 15 years, I think. But he like seeing the whole thing go down between Madge and Adam. And the conversation that resulted from all that made him realize he needed to be out on his podcast as someone who wasn't like a stereotypical gay guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
So like even this conversation, this very conversation we're having right now could be, you know, getting to someone who's like hearing all of us like both being like silly and totally stereotypically gay. And mm-hmm. also then suddenly having this conversation, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People are having a chance to, where we didn't have before, to see like all aspects of people.
I agree. And that's why I'm saying that I was also telling Andrew that, you know, we should have more voices, you know, coming out or actually, you know, have a voice. It could just be your audio blog, because I think, you know, we all want more audience, but I think the day you reach one person that may need that message just to have the, you know, to have that day to be a better day or to stop hating themselves, I think we have achieved something much greater than, you know, we can even expect or imagine. I mean, I haven't heard, not that I get email all the time that, oh my gosh, your show inspires me. most of my shows are crap anyway.
After people are listening to this show, they might just all jump up from their closets all at the same time.
Dream on. In fact,
be jumping from a cliff.
You know what? I may be doing
toy.
Is, oh, I want to post this show all in its entirety.
You should. I think you just post it in all its entirety.
Okay, maybe I should, because what's coming up? Maybe I'll post this on Monday. Oh yeah, let's just do this on Monday. And
yeah, why not?
The reason why I want to say that is because on Thursday, if I'm posting this on Monday, okay, yeah. This Thursday, I'm committing myself to posting it on Monday now. This Thursday, you will be listening to a story from a Malaysian gay guy who lived his life entirely not out, but had a 3-year relationship with someone. And he was telling me how difficult it was to be away from this relationship. He has nobody to turn to. Nobody knew he was gay. Nobody knows he was in a relationship. And he was, when they first started dating and seeing each other, he had nobody to turn to share the excitement or the joy. And so I asked him in one of the, you just have to come back on Thursday. I listened to his interview. I asked him, how was it like to be gay in Malaysia? He's like, he told me, I think if I'm not mistaken, he said, it's like, you know, it's like he's drowning.
Oh, is it still that bad?
Apparently, yeah.
Well, yeah.
This is in Malaysia. This is a guy in Malaysia. And I'll be doing more interviews with him because I find that very fascinating. Plus, he is maybe a voice of thousands, if not, you know, hundreds of
possibly
thousands of people.
You know, I actually thought things were getting a lot better now. I mean, it's been 8 years since I've been back in Malaysia, but I thought things are a lot better.
I guess not for everyone. There might be people who are like that. Now, we talk about that too, and there's not just because of the society. You have the pressure from the society, and then you also have the pressure from your family. You know, being a Chinese, traditional Chinese family, you have to fulfill, especially being a son, you have to fulfill your responsibility.
Firstborn thing. Oh, good Lord. I'm firstborn.
Oops.
And you're supposed to produce a child to perpetuate the family name, whatever.
Yeah.
So I've been lucky that my parents are actually very, very flexible about this. And I came up to them years ago, and they didn't go ballistic, thank God. So I've been one of the lucky ones.
Silence.
Oh. Silence is golden. Anyway, no, that's really lucky. I don't think many people have that sort of parents, really. Mm-hmm. I've got a friend who recently told her parents that she's gay, and her parents dragged her to church and
cleanse her with holy water.
Yeah, and they feel that, you know, they tell her every day she's got to go to hell and blah 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 blah, and you know, she's got to, you know, it's like a demon inside of her. She's got to exercise this and things like that. You know, it's really hard. And she's, you know, she's quite a confident person, and she's taking it really well. But you know, what hurts her the most is that her own parents are not supporting her. Not that the fact that she's thinking that she's going to go to hell. You know, she can give a toss if she's going to hell or not.
Yeah,
but
right.
But it's her own parents, you know, her own flesh and blood. And she's kind of saying, maybe I should move out of my house and go find somewhere else to live, which she can't afford to. Or should I just give in and pretend and just, you know, sort of in herself again and go back in the closet and say, yes, Mom and Dad, I am straight now. Thanks. You know, that sort of thing. So the pressure for her is incredible. Especially if she works with her parents as well, and just listening to all that just makes my heart pulls out to her.
Yeah,
I don't even know how to, you know, where to start to help her.
Right.
The whole thing about praying for, you know, for the devil in you who makes you like the same sex. I have gone through that myself.
I would have to say that I've been through that myself. I've been exorcism, all that junk. Of course, it never works.
Wait, you went for actual exorcism?
Yeah, you know.
Oh yeah.
Oh good Lord! Yeah, the usual thing. You go in front of church and then be gone. Touch your head. You're supposed to fall, and then you fall flat on the floor, and then
flop about.
Gayness be gone.
Gayness be gone. Yeah. You see, when I was younger, I wish I had the courage to say, look, maybe I don't want the devil out. Yeah, I like the devil in me.
Ooh. Stick it in!
Play the piano. I'm going to start dancing now.
Yeah, and you know what?
So, yeah, that's a whole
interesting topic.
That whole awful period where, you know, we were fighting with ourselves about our identities.
Yeah.
I think every one of us have actually gone through that, because I remember that when I was going through that whole situation, I was actually kind of suicidal for a while, because the church kept telling me you're going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't much fun at all.
Yeah, I grew up as a, you know, I was a cradle Catholic, and I went through the whole of my adult years, well, from the moment that I was attracted to men, that when I see gorgeous men, I have reaction. From that moment on, I've always been praying and praying and praying that I would change. But of course, it never worked. And I thought that's going to work this time. Didn't work. Maybe next time. Didn't work.
Maybe next time.
And so, yeah, I've lived through that, and that's partly why, as long as this show is reaching one or a few people, that's why I want to tap into the you know, more of the, it doesn't matter where you are, but I just think that in Asian countries, sometimes that is a little bit more difficult, because you have a whole layer of cultural thing involved there, not just religion. And when I was a child, when I was going through that myself, if there's like a show like this that a bunch of gay people can talk about the struggles that they have been through, And while you're actually going through that struggle, that is very empowering, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And I hope there are no sort of teenagers listening to this, and I got to go to church tomorrow and stand on the piano and start singing a gay tune.
It's raining, man. Hallelujah. It's raining, man. Mm-hmm.
Shut up, Mama. Sit down.
Shut up.
I used the word hallelujah.
Yeah, blasphemy.
Were any one of you told that, you know, when I, let me tell you the story. I've got a story to tell.
Okay.
So when I was in
Papua New Guinea.
No, it's not. So when I was in Papua New Guinea, my mother has got long reaches. She managed to reach all the way to Papua New Guinea and get someone to grab me to church.
Oh.
And I was in Port Moresby, Papua New Guinea. And so, you know, being the good boy I am, I went to church. And so I talked to this guy who took me to church, and I told him I was gay and then I am attracted to men, so what do I do? And he said, well, there's nothing you can do. You have to stay completely celibate. And then I said, okay, what about masturbation? He said, oh, no, you're not allowed to masturbate either. And I said, huh? What am I supposed to do? I'm not supposed to get married. I can't get married. He said, no, just pray.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now, every time you think about masturbation, every time you get a hard on, just go and pray. That'll bring it down.
Oh my God, that was like one of the worst.
We're all gonna go to hell, you know?
Was that? Okay?
Yeah. At least it's fun. If heaven is the place where all those people think or preach about, talk about, gloat about. I would rather go to hell and actually have a good time than...
I actually don't believe in heaven and hell. You know?
See, I reckon we're all going to go to heaven, okay? If there's a real God out there, he's not going to make up stupid rules that you find in the Bible or the Quran, so in all other religions, okay? If there's a true God and he loves everybody, all of us are going to go to heaven. Plus, I think God is a big woman anyway. Okay?
Yeah.
It's going to be a big discotheque with two rooms. Either you go to the heaven room where all the guys are naked with wings, or you go to hell where the guys are oiled up and greasy and hot.
Thank you for listening to Online Podcast. Thank you so much for all the guests. And we're going to end the show, and then we're going to start a new show called Religion. And bye. Talk to you later. Oh, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Don't forget to smile. Bye. Yeah, whatever the hell it is. And goodbye. Ta-da. Beep.